It's 17 past 8 though, and my name's Tess Connery. You're on 2SER Breakfast, and of course we're on the downhill into the weekend. So if you're wondering what you should go out and snack on this weekend, we have you firmly covered for the weekly feed. Callan Boyes joins us in the studio now. He is the National Food and Drink Writer for Fairfax. Callan, good morning.
G'day.
How's it going? What are we taking a look at this week?
We're having a little look at a field dictionary for dining out in 2018. There's a lot of weird words on menus these days, and it can be quite hard to navigate without a little glossary at times.
I'm ready.
I'm not just talking like miso and dashi and whatever, like things like aquafaba. Are you across aquafaba?
I'm across miso, but not aquafaba.
Yeah. Okay, also known as disgusting chickpea goop. So it's a vegan substitute for egg whites.
Is this not just hummus?
No. So all that, you know, when you get a can of chickpeas.
No, I don't. No, I don't know what happens when you get a can of chickpeas. But okay.
There's a lot of life questioning. That's what happens. How do I end up here pouring this goop down the sink? So like the chickpeas come in a watery, briny thing. It's quite goopy. And so you pour that down the sink. But that goop that the chickpea sits in, it can actually be used for other things. So if you separate that and whip it together as you would with an egg white, it becomes quite frothy. And so a lot of vegans have cottoned onto this and using it as an egg white substitute. If they want to make meringues, pavlovas, you can use it in cocktails to make like a whiskey sour. Now, it's just filtered bin juice as far as I'm concerned. But yeah. It also doesn't taste that bad.
So, oh, that's good.
Yeah, so I'm seeing it a bit in cocktail bars, aquafaba, in whiskey sours, because a whiskey sour uses egg white, and it can sometimes be a little bit sulfurous and a bit like on the nose. So the aquafaba doesn't have that. So yeah, I'm kind of not against it, as disgusting as it sounds.
Hummus cocktail, I'm on board.
Hummus cocktail, yeah.
To be fair. That's what I'm picturing.
Another term that I've seen around, this isn't really on menus, but I've seen it in magazines, is a brocavore.
Brocavore.
Yeah. So that's it was a term coined by Bon Appetit in the US, and it refers to ultra-hip, food-obsessed blokes.
Oh, see, I was thinking maybe really cheap food, because in my head, a vore, like herbivore or carnivore, and broke.
Oh, good one.
That's where I was like, okay, cheap food. I'm a brocavore.
Yeah, okay. No, that makes sense. I'll write to Bon Appetit and suggest that too. No, these guys aren't broke. They can usually be found reading Monocle magazine at the new craft soda bar and, you know,
very bougie.
Fingering axes. at the local hardware store, you know, like the kind of people who buy that Smith Journal and spend like $100 on an axe and never use it.
Yeah, nice.
And cocktail guides for Mr. Porter. Anyway, so you can usually find them, down at the local craft brewery before hitting the town for some pre-batched Negronis and stuff and getting very excited about food. So brocavore. Not unrelated to that is brosé.
Oh, this one I know.
Oh, yeah, right. So, yeah, what's brosé?
It's like men drinking rosé,
That's all it is. That's all it is. But I've heard the term now for about 12 months, maybe a bit longer, but never really penetrated Australia too much, this whole blokes drinking rosé thing, and brocavores drinking rosé, really. But in the last probably 2 or 3 months, I've definitely heard it around, just kind of in my peripheral hearing of you know, blokes that knock off at 6 o'clock in the financial district getting very, very excited about rosé. And I don't know what it is. Rosé is nice.
It's good. It's just because it's pink. It's like, oh no, we've got to make it manly now. It's like when the iPhones were coming out in rose gold and guys were calling it bros gold so that they could feel
really,
justified.
Really, really like, don't like people sometimes.
Rosé is awesome. Rosé. Oh God. Rosé is awesome. Just accept it. Move on. Oh God.
Okay, so Coravin. So if you go to a lot of wine bars now and restaurants, you'll see a lot of wines poured by what's called a Coravin, which I'm really, really excited about, much more than the concept of brosé. So the Coravin is this little device. It was created in the US, and you stick a needle through the cork, and then it pneumatically pumps out the wine, so you can pour it into a glass, but then put that bottle back on the shelf with the cork still intact and the wine doesn't spoil. So it's really, really, really good if you've got a huge cellar at your restaurant and there's some stuff down there from, you know, the early 90s, early 2000s, whatever it might be. It's like, oh, I really want to put this on the menu by the glass, but if we open it, we've got to sell the whole thing that night. You can put this Coroven device in there and just pour a glass here and there, and the wine won't spoil. And we've done tests on it at Good Food at Fairfax, and totally works. Like, wine's, you know, open for 2 months.
Whoa.
Put the Coroven in there, put it back in the cellar, and do a side-by-side comparison. Very, very, very minute difference. But, yeah, unless you're a huge wine snob, you're not going to pick it up. So, yeah, it's really, really good for trying wines. You're like, oh, I really want to get that bottle, but it's $200, but I really want to taste just a glass, and you can just get a little glass pour or whatever. What I have noticed, though, is you're seeing a lot more of these Corovins around, is that you're getting some cheeky sommeliers who oh, you've got to try this wine with this food. And I don't look at the prices a lot sometimes. Like, most wines you figure are going to be around $20 a glass tops. Restaurants, some of these Coroven pours go up to $35, $40 a glass.
Whoa. So,
and then if you're not checking, your bill comes like, oh, that was a nice Chardonnay. I don't know if it was that nice, but okay, no, that's my fault. I should have checked, sir. Anyway, so yeah, Coroven, it's good though. It's good. Just check the prices. Goza, that's the beer we're going to be drinking this summer. We saw a lot of Goza last year, but now I'm seeing a lot more of it in cans and on tap. It's kind of become a little bit more mainstream now. So you'll see it it's G-O-S-E.
Sounds like a berry.
Yes, Goza. I think it's the monster from, or the demon from Ghostbusters.
It might be, actually. Yeah, I think you're onto
the
something.
One that lives in Sigourney Weaver's fridge. Goza. Anyway, it's a top fermented sour beer hailing from Goslar. I definitely did not say that correct. In Germany. And it's this salty, lemony, tremendously refreshing drink when ice cold. So yeah, as I said, like all the craft beer boffins were onto it last year, but now my dad was asking me about it the other week, like, watch this Goss beer. So if dad's asking me about it, like, there's something going on.
We've exceeded craft beer boffins.
Yeah. If it's traveled to Warners Bay in Newcastle, then it's a thing. Sushi donuts.
Oh, I'm so involved. I love sushi, really? And I love donuts. Please, yeah. Tell me.
Yeah. I like both of those things too. They don't belong together. So true. Sushi rice molded into a donut shape and then topped with all nutritious, colorful things and fish and avocado and seeds and whatnot. And they're very, very pretty, and they're very, very stupid.
There's a sushi place near where I live which has sushi sandwiches, and it's the same deal, is that it's cut into triangles and it's rice instead of bread, and then it's full of avocado and salmon and things. I've not tried one.
I'm sure it's fine, but just what's wrong with normal sushi?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. I got really excited and now I'm really not.
It's just one of those things that are just made for Instagram, these sushi donut things, like all those unicorn cakes.
Oh, I hate them so much.
Oh, they're the worst, aren't they?
Oh, they're awful. Yeah. I'm just not talented enough, so I'm bitter at them because I can't make one.
It doesn't take talent. It takes food dye. That's all it takes. If you're above the age of 4 years old, I was going to say 5 years old, but no, I think 4 years old, and you're getting excited about unicorn cakes, then you need to take a long, hard look at your life. Chaga.
Chaga.
Yeah. So that's a type of mushroom.
Oh.
And it's used to make various tinctures, which are pretty much the color of elephant urine.
Good.
So chaga tea, if you see mushroom tea around, it's made from this chaga, which it may have anti-aging properties. Probably, who knows, but it tastes like death warmed over, and you should avoid it at all costs. So, yeah, no mushroom tea.
I think we've got time for one more. What else have we got?
Oh, right. Okay. We can do that. So the other big drink you're going to be drinking this summer is going to be Petalot Natural, also known in the natural wine community as Pet Nat. So it's like a wonderful fizzy sparkling wine thing. So it's a sparkling wine made by an ancient method.
Oh, good.
Yes. Where wine that hasn't quite finished its primary ferment. I don't want to get too technical on it because everyone will fall asleep at this hour. But it hasn't finished its primary ferment and bottled without secondary yeast or sugars. So what happens then, unlike normal champagne, which is quite clear, this is unfiltered, it's quite cloudy, really tart, but also really, really super drinkable.
It's like cider wine.
Yeah, cider wine. Absolutely. Yes, sparkling
okay.
Cider wine. One thing to watch out for, if you do have a Petalot Natural Pet Nat, if you put in the esky and it's a bit warm, it will probably explode. It's very volatile.
What?
Yeah. Not probably. It might explode. Look, let's just say I've had one explode once. I was at a party and it was like, there was lots of kids there and there was the one esky and I was like, oh, got me little hipster pet nat and put it in the esky and then the lid blew off of it for about half an hour and glass went all through the ice. And look, you don't want to be at a kid's party and be the bloke exploding bottles into the esky, and glass and ice don't mix.
Apparently not.
So that was the end of that. I had to drive to 7-Eleven to get some more. Anyway, so watch out for that. But yeah, delicious.
God.
Delicious, just volatile.
And on that note, thanks so much, Callum.
All right.
Callum Boy is there running us through the weekly feed, letting you know the definitions of some words you might see if you're out and about eating out this weekend.